It. A plastic doggy door. No bolts. I use all the power in my legs and ignore the pain shooting down my spine as I dig my toes into the carpet and use all my strength to push the plant from the wall until there's just enough room for me to shimmy behind it and crawl through. I have no time to celebrate my short-lived freedom because there's an entire field of brush and debris to navigate. I make a run for it.
Smoke. The house is quiet. Too fucking quiet. I run to the bedroom, but I already know it's empty. I dart back out and spot the plant in the doggy door, the plastic panel in the center flopping in the breeze. I'm calm as I grab my gun and walk out the front door. I'm whistling as I round the house and spot her stumbling across the prison yard. Game on, Hellion. I'm a product of sin and violence. I was born with rage sizzling through my heated blood. With every crack of my knuckles, it consumes me until it is me. I can't be the good guy, and I don't want to be. Frankie Hellburn is the only thing standing between me and Griff, and I won't let it all go because of pussy. I'm the arrow. Frankie's my target. I never fucking miss.
Frankie. I lift my knees as high as I can, navigating my way over the tangled vines. I stumble a few times, scraping my hands on thorns. I make it across and step over a downed sign for Broward County Correctional Facility. I make a beeline for the house, running and tripping over a hose. I growl at my own clumsiness and make my way up to the door. I hear footsteps outside. Footsteps! I bang on the door loudly and wildly, checking over my shoulder every few seconds. Come on, come on, open the door, I chant to myself. What's the trouble, my dear? A woman comes to the door, wiping her hands on her apron. She's older, maybe in her late 70s or early 80s. I'm just about to tell her everything, when I realize that if I tell her too much or the wrong thing, I could be putting her life in danger, too. No troubles. I'm just lost and a little winded from walking over all the twisted weeds. I tell her, I'm Aaron. I'm staying with my boyfriend in a cottage around here, but I went for a walk and now I can't find my way back. Oh, my. Well, come on in, dear. I'm Zelda. It's very nice to meet you. Thank you, I say, entering the house. It's just as small as the warden's house, but it's much cozier. Everything is yellow. Curtains, wallpaper, placemats on the table. Every wall has a high plant shelf running across the length of that wall and connecting to the next. Except there aren't plants on the shelves. Instead, they're lined with wooden statues, mostly of animals, and most of those animals are some variation of dog. Some are crude little things that look as if a child made it, and some were so smooth it looked as if they were sculpted by a seasoned artist. Lovely, aren't they? Zelda asks when she sees me staring up at the shelves. Yes, very, I respond. Are you staying at the warden's cottage? She asks, taking me off guard. I don't want to lie, and the truth might get her in trouble, so I do what I think is the next best thing. Is that what it's called? It's the only house around here besides this one. No one's been there in quite a bit, Zelda says, shuffling her feet into the kitchen. We're just visiting. We won't be staying long, I explain. Have a seat, my dear. Zelda points to a yellow chair at an equally yellow kitchen. Do you need to use the phone? She asks. I'd actually like to use your computer, if you have one. I drop my phone and don't have my boyfriend's number, so I'll have to send him a message online that I'm all right before I try and head back. I glance out the corner of my eye out the window. A chill runs up my spine, and it's as if I can feel his anger from across the field. My time is limited. Zelda nods. Would you like some tea? Sure, I'd love some. I twirl my thumbs on my lap and tap the toe of my shoe against the table leg. Zelda puts an old yellow kettle on the burner. I got one of them fancy lap stops, she says, speaking slower and slower as the moments pass. Friend of mine gave it to me for Christmas. He set up the internet and all, but I have no idea how to use it. Grandkids use the Wi-Fi when they visit, but they bring their own lap stops. Can I please trouble you to borrow it? I ask. Sure thing, honey. Let me just go fetch it. Zelda adjusts her glasses up the bridge of her nose and slowly shuffles from the kitchen. When she comes back, she's holding a laptop, but it's at least 4 inches thick and dark blue in color. It wasn't a laptop. It was the first laptop. You got this for Christmas, you said? I open the ancient computer, pray to every god I can think of that the internet connection works. My fingers fly over the keyboard. I ask Zelda for a password, only to be polite. I've already hacked the connection. I'm on. Password is Christmas 1993, Zelda says proudly, setting a cup of tea next to me. The year you got the computer? I ask. That's the one. She holds up her own teacup and takes a sip. Thank you so much, I say, taking a quick sip. I set the teacup down and go back to the computer. You're awfully banged up. You get in a fight with some livestock and lose? Oh, this, I say, touching my fingertips to the corner of my lip. I forgot about my bruises and scabs. Car accident. Zelda twists her lips. With a truck, I add. I mean a truck hit my car. Shit. Zelda nods, but I can tell she's not sold on the story, and I don't blame her. I don't believe me either. I'm in the deep web. I'm not a clumsy young woman who's never experienced even a fraction of what life has to offer. I'm a Navy SEAL, navigating barriers and obstacles put in place to keep people like me out with practiced ease. I could use my time to put out an SOS call instead of locating the file that needs to be transferred. But I decide not to. Not just because I can't spare the time, but because I can't put Zelda at risk. Lord knows what he'd do to her if he thought she aided my escape in some way. After a long series of replacing bank code with my own, the transfer is finally happening. It's sloppy, but not my best work. There are some other channels I would have liked to delete along the way, some ends I would have liked to tie up. But there's no time for painting scenery today. This is abstract art. A few splashes of paint on the canvas, and I'm done. I sigh in relief. Then I wipe Zelda's computer, making sure any trace I was ever here is erased from the memory, before shutting it down and sliding it across the table. Thank you, I tell her, picking up my cup and taking another sip of tea. Zelda stands and moves into the kitchen to arrange crackers in a wheel on a large plate. She opens the fridge and takes out a tray of cheese cubes, dumping them in the middle of the plate. Frankie? A low, angry voice grumbles from behind. The barrel of his gun jabs at the base of my neck. What did you do? He asks through clenched teeth. Zelda turns around with the plate. She sees smoke standing behind me, and much to my surprise, she isn't startled. I didn't hear you come in, she says to him. She turns to me. This the truck? Zelda, this is... I go to make the introduction, but Zelda laughs, cutting me off. I know who that is, dear. Zelda rounds the table, and Smoke bends down so she can plant a kiss on his cheek. I wasn't expecting you, or I'd have set out my wedding china, she says with a roll of her eyes. You of all people know I'm a paper plate kind of guy. He's cocky with her. Calm. Who the hell was this man? And what did he do with the guy who threatened to cut off all my limbs while I watched? Zelda's gaze drops to the gun. She holds out her hand. You know the rules, she says sternly, and for the first time I hear the slight trace of a Scottish accent. Smoke leaves her hand empty, but tucks the gun in his waistband.
Gotta break house rules this one time. Can't exactly trust this one.
She giving you trouble?
Something like that, Smoke replies.
Zelda leans on the table and winks at me.
Give him hell, lass.
She pinches my cheek and smiles.
A Glock 17, Smoke? Thought you were a Beretta man.
People change,
he answers, looking at me. I sense there's more to those words he's not saying.
You don't change,
she laughs, swatting at him with a dish towel.
What alternate universe did I just fall into?
I ask, looking from Smoke to Zelda in a daze. They both ignore me.
Let me get another cup of tea out of the china cabinet in the den. I'll just be a minute,
Zelda says.
Make my tea a whiskey,
Smoke says, taking a seat beside me. He lights a cigarette and turns to face me, his long legs spread, his knee knocking into my thigh.
Did I say china cabinet? I meant liquor cabinet.
Zelda shuffles from the kitchen. We're alone. Suddenly I'm not feeling so brave about my big, brave escape. Plus, Smoke's calm. Too calm. I decide it's more frightening than when he's angry.
What did you do?
Smoke asks, tapping the laptop with his index finger. Nothing. I really didn't do anything. Didn't get a chance to. Open it. Check for yourself. He's not buying it. He opens the laptop and types in Zelda's password. Christmas, 1993.
How do you know her password?
I ask.
Who do you think bought me the computer?
Zelda sings, coming back into the room with a bottle of Jack Daniels on a silver tray with a doily underneath. She sets it on the table and opens the bottle.
I'd get you a glass, but I know how you are, she says.
Smoke grabs the bottle by the neck and tilts it to his lips, looking at me as his Adam's apple bobs up and down with each swallow. He somehow manages to make drinking whiskey straight from the bottle look graceful. Smoke sets the whiskey on the tray and turns his attentions back to the computer.
Something about the way his nostrils flare, how he gets so heated at the littlest thing, makes my blood boil, while simultaneously making me afraid.
There's more to this man than kidnapper killer extraordinaire. If I didn't hate him so much, I might be curious to find out more about him.
This is bullshit,
Smoke mutters, slamming the laptop shut.
Language,
Zelda corrects, setting the cheese plate on the table along with the box of cookies. The fancy ones, with cupcake wrappers delicately cradling each different kind.
What did she do?
Smoke asks Zelda. Zelda shrugs and pops a cheese cube in her mouth, talking around it.
Nothing much. She told me she was lost and staying with her boyfriend. She needed to use the computer. She didn't do nothing. I was watching the entire time. She looked at the screen, then told me she changed her mind and shut the thing down. We're just having ourselves a little visit, Zelda says. But if you want me to check the back way, I can. Just to make sure she didn't bypass. Standard methods.
She looks to me and smiles.
I've been had. Zelda isn't some old woman who doesn't know shit about shit. I feel it in my gut.
This is a woman who knows everything. She knows what I did. And she lied for me.
Why would she lie for me?
Why didn't you ask to use the phone?
He asks skeptically.
Stop hounding her, you brute. She didn't want to get who she saw as an innocent mix-up in your affairs. She's a smart one, a kind one to boot, a good combination if you ask me.
Zelda pushes a lock of curly red hair back up into the handkerchief tied around her head and takes the bottle of whiskey off the table. She chugs down twice as much as Smoke did before setting it back down on the table and wiping her mouth with the back of her hand. I smile at her because I can't help it. She's fucking glorious. Smoke lifts me out of the chair by my arm and tugs me toward the door.
Unfortunately, we can't stay, he grates.
Understood, Zelda says without breaking her big smile. She stands and follows us out. Just remember, boy, she wraps her wrinkled hand around Smoke's bicep. The best jobs are the ones you don't ask for, the ones you don't get paid for.
Zelda leans in and whispers in my ear,
Stay strong, lass. When he gives you hell, you show him your horns.
Thank you, I say to her, returning her smile and putting on my bravest face. I just met her, but I don't want her to worry about me, and something in her eyes tells me she would do just that.
Zelda speaks in riddles. She also likes to feed people. She knows her guns. She lied for me. She's a friend of Smoke's. Despite the last item, I decide I like Zelda. I like her very much.
Smoke drags me over the weeds and brush by my arm. I feel the anger wafting off of him. Despite this, I wave and call back to Zelda.
Thank you for the tea!
When Zelda is back inside the house and out of earshot, Smoke speaks.
That was a stupid fucking move, he grunts.
I know. This time I agree with him. It was stupid.
I don't know what you're fucking playing at, but you need to stop before you get yourself or someone else killed.
He growls.
I untangle myself and storm up to him.
Before I get myself killed?
I raise my voice.
I'm dead in less than a week. You know it. I know it. My father isn't coming for me, don't you get it? It doesn't matter what I do, I'm dead anyway.
I turn and run through the field back toward the warden's house, but I'm no match for Smoke's long legs. He catches up to me just as I reach the shorter grass beyond the prison yard. Smoke connects with my back, tackling me. The air goes whooshing out from my lungs as I fall face first into a mud puddle. Mud is in my nose, my mouth, my eyes, my throat. I'm pulled up by my hair. I spit and cough brown sludge until it's no longer standing in the way of breathing. I wipe my eyes with my forearm since my hands are covered in mud. Smoke stands and pulls me up with him. He bends at the waist, his arm at the back of my knees like he's going to lift me into his arms. I punch at his chest.
Don't fucking touch me!
I scream. Smoke ignores me. He grunts, picks me up, and carries me into the house, not stopping until we're through the bedroom and in the bathroom. He sets me on my feet and holds me with one arm while he turns on the shower. He doesn't wait for the water to run warm, tugging me under the spray while still fully clothed. I shriek. My teeth chatter.
Take off your clothes, he demands.
I freeze. It takes a few beats for me to gather my nerve again, but when I do, I look up at him with all the defiance I can muster.
No,
I say, shivering under the cold water. It turns warm, but my shivering doesn't stop.
Why don't you just fucking listen?
Smoke mutters. He lunges for me. I pull away, but there's nowhere to go. I'm trapped between the shower walls. He steps behind me, tearing my clothes from my body until I'm completely naked, wearing nothing but mud and my defiance. The water becomes warmer until it's steaming hot, and my aching bones and muscles sag in relief. It's so comforting I moan without thinking. I let my forehead fall to the tile on the wall in front of me,
the steaming water washing away the mud and grime, soaking into my sore muscles and warming my bones. These few days, the rest of this week, I start, without looking over my shoulder. It's all the time I have left on this earth. I don't want to spend them fighting with you. I'll do whatever you want. I won't run away again. Just don't keep me cuffed to the bed or locked in a room, please. After this week is up, I won't even put up a fight. Wherever you need to take me, I'll let you. However you need to end things, I'll go with you willingly. I swear. My plea was the most honest thing I'd spoken to him since he'd abducted me. It was an honesty he didn't deserve. But with few options left, I have no other choice. I could have called for help today, but I didn't. I wouldn't. I pause. Smoke says nothing, but I know he's there. I hear him taking off his wet clothes and adding them to the muddy pile on the tile. I don't think you'll do this because you know her, but I have to say it, just in case. Please don't hurt Zelda. I swear she doesn't know anything. I didn't tell her anything. She doesn't deserve this. I wait for Smoke to answer. When he doesn't, and I no longer hear him rustling around, I assume he left. Until I feel him. His skin against mine. His naked skin. I'm not going to hurt her, Smoke says. He reaches for the soap over my head, and I flinch. He pulls the soap off the dish slowly, then rubs the bar down my back and thighs. He brings it back up, sliding it across my wet ass cheek. The shower begins to smell like him, like Irish soap, clean and fresh, the opposite of how I feel. I shuffle forward, but there is only so far I can go in the small shower, and Smoke is so large he takes up most of the tiny space. If all he can promise me is that he isn't going to hurt Zelda, then that will have to be enough. Smoke leans forward again to place the soap back on the dish mounted to the wall. My entire back is pressed against him, and he's hard. Everywhere. I gasp. Are you trying to tell me you shouldn't be punished for that shit you just pulled, Hellion? Smoke asks, rocking his hips so that his erection slides against my soapy ass. He feels warm, like soft silk wrapped around hard steel as he drags his erection over my skin again and again. I want to scream, to fight, to toss him away. But my body betrays me. My nipples harden. My clit throbs. I don't know what I'm saying, I respond, stifling a moan. I can't think straight while he's so close. I think you do, he says, his hands snaking around my waist, trailing down my flat stomach until they're splayed across the crest of my thighs. He squeezes my flesh between his fingers, hard. I gasp. I stutter. You said you didn't want me, I say, recalling his words from the first night we slept in the same bed. Did I? He asks. Or did I say that I don't like my women battered and bruised, because your bruises are almost gone? He presses his lips to the curve of my neck. The simple touch of his lips to my skin causes a sensation of desire to pool within my lower stomach. I open my mouth and close my eyes in a silent moan, suppressing the need to rock back into him. Are you trying to scare me? I grate out. Why? He asks, nipping at my earlobe, dragging his teeth along the edge. Are you scared, Hellion? No, I lie. Why am I the one who's lying? Why not you? I ask. I'm so wet I'm dripping down my thighs, and I'm thankful we're in the shower so he doesn't get a chance to take pleasure in what he's doing to me,
how he's tormenting me.
Does this feel like a lie to you?
He murmurs, pressing against me again, letting me feel every inch of his thick rigidness as it slides against my ass crack. The tip touches my bare pussy for a brief second before he retreats. No. No, it does not feel like a lie. It feels like desire and confusion and lust. It feels like being out of control and adventure and possibilities, and I want it. I want him. And I hate myself for it.
I've made a decision. I'm going to give you what you want,
he says. My entire body stiffens. He chuckles against me, and I'm glad I'm facing away because his laugh is pure torture, causing his erection to vibrate so close to my folds, which are aching for contact, aching for him.
No, Hellion, not that, at least not now. What I mean is that I'll give you your last few days. I can't promise that you won't be restrained or that you can do everything you fucking want, but if you don't give me shit, then I'll try to make them tolerable for you.
Tolerable? I ask.
It's the best I can do,
he says, and I hear it in his voice that he means it. I look over my shoulder and meet his dark eyes, which were even darker, as he raked me over from my feet to my breasts. My stomach flips, my core clenches. His chest presses against my back, and his hardness pushes between my legs, rubbing against my inner thighs. He squirts some shampoo in his hand and starts working it into my hair. He tilts my head back and rinses my hair. He slides his slick and soapy hand down my body, lower and lower, until it's between my legs and he's rubbing his thumb over my swollen nub, sending sparks of need and pains of pleasure coursing throughout my body. What are you doing?
Making things tolerable.
He says in my ear, his voice a hearty, amused rasp. His fingers circle my clit while he continues to rock his hard cock between my legs. The pressure building is so strong it's bordering on painful. My core clenches for something that isn't there, like it wants to draw him inside my body. Then I grow wet, so wet it's like my pussy is weeping for not giving it what it wants. He feels it. I know he does.
You're so fucking slippery. All for me,
he says in wonderment.
This perfect pink pussy wants my cock. I can feel it. Fuck.
He groans, and the sound is something I want to record and play over and over again, because it's better than any music I've ever heard. I'm staying as still as I can. But when I feel something begin to happen in my body, the sparks he ignited within me are all crashing together. I can't hold back anymore. Shamelessly, I arch my back, pressing my ass against him, asking for more. Smoke hisses.
Oh, what I could do to this beautiful pussy,
he says, leaning against my back, his lips on my neck. I want him to do things to it. I want him to do everything to it. The pleasure builds and builds as he strokes me. I'm just about to experience something I know will change the short amount of life I have left on this earth, when suddenly he's gone. I feel behind me. Nothing. I turn off the spray and wipe the water from my eyes, only to see smoke toweling off in front of the sink on the other side of the bathroom. The only proof I have that what just happened between us wasn't a dream of some sort was his cock, erect, thick, huge, the purplish head swollen as it bobs against his belly button over the top of the towel tied around his waist.
What? What just happened?
I ask, leaning against the wall for support. Smoke steps forward. And when I go to jerk back, he reaches forward and pinches my nipple painfully hard. I yelp and leap back, falling on my ass, taking the shower curtain down with me. I pull it from my head, and Smoke leans over me, a triumphant grin on his evil, beautiful face.
Thanks for running off on me, Hellion.
He leaves the bathroom without another word. I inhale sharply and stay on the ground in the shower. Smoke had just made a promise to me to make my last days tolerable, but he's already made himself out to be a liar. Because what he just did to me in that shower wasn't tolerable. It was pure fucking torture.
Chapter 23. Smoke. Trouble ain't nothing new for me. I've been in trouble before. With the law, with women, with men I've done jobs for. Name the trouble and I guarantee fucking tea, I've been mixed up in it a time or 20. Frankie Hellburn is a whole new kind of trouble. One my gut, my brain, and my cock can't quite fucking agree on. Her fucking defiance. The way she challenges me, stands up to me. Then there's the way she looks at me, like she wants to claw my fucking eyes out. God fucking damn it. I'm hard just thinking about it. That is until I hear a familiar high-pitched sound in the distance and my swollen cock is all but forgotten about. The sound is coming from a small motor, a wheeze more than a roar. It grows louder and louder. Fuck, I swear, shrugging on my cut. I open the screen door and step out onto the porch and down the steps. I light a smoke and head down the footpath between the weeds, just as a baby blue Vespa comes to a screeching halt in front of the warden's house. Rage. She sets down her kickstand and removes her helmet, revealing long blonde hair pulled into a tight ponytail. She smooths it down with the palm of her hands. She spots me and doesn't smile, doesn't react. She grabs her duffel bag from the storage compartment below the seat and drapes it over her shoulders. She walks up to me with her hands on the strap. Her shirt is tight and pink and says, "Bitch, please," across her tits. She's also wearing what appears to be a mini version of a biker's cut. "Nice shirt, princess," I say. She shrugs. "Well, they didn't have one that said step back or die, so I went with this one." "Good call." I stub out my cigarette. "Surprised to see me?" Rage asks. "Understatement," I reply. "Where's my ward?" Rage asks, peeking around my shoulder. "Sleeping," I say. "I didn't expect Preppy to send you. Thought he was sending one of the lawless." Rage narrows her eyes. "First off, you of all people know that no one sends me anywhere. Second, he didn't send me. He was sending Kevin, his brother, but I volunteered instead. And third..." She reaches into her duffel bag and pulls out what appears to be a small version of a biker's cut and shrugs it on. "I am one of the lawless." She spins around and sure enough, the back has the Lawless MC logo. The front reads, "Sergeant at Arms." "No fucking way," I say, amused as all hell. "Can't say I'm surprised, though. Only you can get a fucking MC to make you a member. What brought this on?" Rage follows me up to the house. "You mean besides the threats of violence against them if they didn't let me in?" "Yeah, beside that." She stops on the porch and turns to face me. "You." "Me?"
"Smoke, you were my mentor for years. You were my only connection to humanity before you inserted Nolan into my life because you knew I needed him and others around me. I didn't understand it until him." She lowers her voice. "You and I were a team, and then you left. I wanted another team. I wanted to belong again."
I look away and light another smoke. This is the last shit I want to be doing right now with all the shit going on with Frankie. "I don't gotta do this right now."
"We do. You left me. I didn't realize it then, but I realize it now. You were like my brother. You were family. Then you left."
"What a fucking brother I was. I left because..." I lower my voice. "You know why I left. The memory of what happened makes me sick to my stomach."
"No, I don't," Rage says, shaking her head and setting her duffel bag down on the porch.
I raped you, Rage, I say, my chest burning with anger toward myself, while your man was made to watch. You didn't deserve that. Nolan didn't deserve that. I feel small hands grab hold of my cut. Look at me, Rage says. I look down into her blue eyes. Smoke! There was no rape. That shitbag forced us to have sex at gunpoint. That's not rape, and if it is, then I raped you too. It's different for you, I say, raising my voice above hers. Why? Why is it different for me? She challenges. Because you zoned out. I saw that look in your eyes you'd get when you wash the world around you away and crawl inside your own head. You weren't there. I got hard. I fucking came, for Christ's sake. Rage rolls her eyes and shrugs. Yeah, different strokes for different folks. I once read about a guy who can only come with a gun to his head. Nobody's screaming rape at the lady holding it. That's biology, asshole. What else you got? The fuck do you know about biology? I ask, feeling the mood lighten. Besides being a germ expert, as you know, I'm also a college graduate now. You went to college? I look at her with disbelief. In a year and a half. She wrinkles her nose. More like a half an hour. Just for enough time to threaten the dean into giving me a degree. It's real pretty, too. I'll show it to you sometime. I chuckle. Same old Rage, I say. Yet not same old Rage. Rage stills. Don't move, okay? I'm gonna try something, she whispers. I shift my feet. Okay, but what are... I said don't move. I'm stone still as her tiny arms wrap around my waist and she leans her head against my chest. Thank you for helping me all those years ago. Thank you for being my friend when I didn't know what a friend was supposed to be. Thank you for setting me up with Nolan, although you did it in the weirdest way possible. Just thank you. I sputter, not knowing what to say. I felt myself soften, and before I knew it, I'd placed one of my hands over her tiny head. Rage was thanking me for something I always hated myself for. I should have left her there that day. I never should have melded in her life. I kissed the top of her hair. It's all done. It's over, Rage announced, pulling away and clapping her hands together. Now let's kill something and string its intestines up like Christmas lights. Yep, same old Rage, I chuckle. You got all this feeling shit down pat, don't you? Yeah, but it's exhausting. There's so many layers of feelings, and sometimes I just want to blow shit up and forget about it all, but it's worth it. Nolan's worth it. Rage takes a step closer. You're worth it. Thanks for coming, kid, I tell her. I mean it. You're very fucking welcome. This place isn't nearly as gross as I thought it would be, so that's a plus. Now, what the fuck do you have going on here? And please, 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 can I do something involving knife play to whoever you have tied up back there? I think about how much to tell Rage. All of it. Tell me all of it, she says knowingly. She skips into the house and props herself up on the counter. I follow her inside. I grab a bottle of whiskey and take a long pull. Do you remember Morgan? Rage nods. Yeah, the brunette. I liked her. Great tits. Seemed clean. She's dead, I say. Rage doesn't react, because Rage doesn't react. Then I tell her everything. When I'm done, I wait, because Rage is processing, looking to the ceiling, deep in thought. This isn't the time to try and shake her out of it, unless you want to be on the bloody end of her blade. I take another swig of whiskey and decide I'm glad Rage came today. Frankie enters the room and pauses when she sees Rage sitting at the counter. Frankie's eyes widen in surprise, and she looks to me. Who's that girl? That ain't no girl, I say, setting down the whiskey. That's Rage.
Chapter 24. Frankie.
Sid, Smoke says, sliding out one of the chairs from the dining room table.
Is she okay? I ask, not taking my eyes off the blonde with the white shorts and matching flip-flops.
She's gorgeous. Weird, with that unblinking robotic look in her bright blue eyes, but gorgeous nonetheless.
Depends on what your definition of okay is.
Smoke grumbles. Why is she here?
To watch you. I've got some shit to do in town.
She's going to watch me? I ask. A knife. No, a dagger. Spirals through the kitchen and lands with the blade in the table less than an inch from my arm. Its white crystal handle sparkling in the sunlight. I look up.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch you,
Rage says, her eyes now focused.
We're gonna be BFFs, I'm sure.
There's something off about her words, about her. About the way she just threw a fucking knife at me.
Can't I come with you?
I ask, not taking my eyes from Rage, who's staring at me without blinking.
No,
they answer in unison.
She's pretty, Smoke. I like her hair. And she's got cat-colored eyes,
Rage says, as if I'm on display at the zoo and not in the same room.
They're more like fire,
Smoke says, staring at my eyes for a few seconds before looking away. He walks to the kitchen and opens a drawer and plucks something out. Coming back, he kneels on the floor and tugs my leg, so my calf is lying against his thigh.
What are you doing?
I ask.
Do you always have to question everything?
He groans. What's this? I ask.
I'll take that as a yes,
he grumbles, adjusting a thick black bracelet around my ankle that locks with a small key. It has a black square attached to it, slightly smaller than a pack of cards.
This is insurance,
he explains. An ankle monitor. He checks it to make sure it's secure. Like for someone on house arrest? I ask, remembering seeing it in movies when the convict gets sentenced to time at home instead of jail. They're monitored by the police and used to make sure the criminal remains at home for the duration of their sentences.
Yes, the same concept. Except...
Rage sings, pressing her lips together and swinging her legs off the counter.
Except what?
I ask. Rage's eyes go wide. She smiles maniacally.
Except this one is a little different.
Smoke locks the device in place and tucks the little key into his pocket. He stands.
Mostly... because it'll explode.
Rage squeals, staring with an uncomfortable amount of interest at the little black box now tethered to my leg.
It's a bomb?
I exclaim, jumping up like I can somehow distance myself from the thing, but it's too late. Smoke continues.
I've set the perimeter guidelines to the fence which goes around the prison. If you go outside the perimeter, it'll give you a warning beep. Then you've got yourself 10 seconds to get back inside before it goes off. Same goes if you try and fuck with it in any way.
Boom.
Rage whispers, making an exploding motion with her hands.
You put a bomb on my leg?
I whisper. I sit and look down at my new explosive ankle jewelry.
Smoke smirks. You can look at it that way. Or,
his eyes meet mine,
you look at it like I'm giving you some freedom, like I promised.
Freedom? With a bomb on my leg?
Smoke nods. I throw my head back and laugh because I can't not laugh. It's fucking funny. He was giving me what I asked for. Some freedom during my last few days. But he was doing it in his own way. Never in my life did I ever think I could be grateful for a bomb strapped to my leg. But I am. Smoke holds up something that looks like a controller for a DVD player.
I can also set it off remotely,
he says, tucking it into his back pocket.
Oh, can I have it?
Rage asks, making grabby hands in the air.
No,
Smoke and I both answer. I close off the part of my brain freaking out over the explosive factor of my situation, and instead focus on the tiny bit of freedom aspect. I begin to dance around the kitchen, the weight of the ankle monitor making me feel freer than I have in days.
Smoke watches me expressionless until I dance myself right into a cabinet. The monitor vibrates on impact, and I freeze, looking up to meet Smoke's eyes. Smoke covers his mouth, and I realize it's to hide a smile. Rage leaps off the counter.
"It's sturdy," Smoke says. "It won't go off if you kick it around or knock it into things. It doesn't work like that."
I exhale. Thank God. "No, thanks, Smoke," Rage corrects. "Thank you, Smoke," I say, and I mean it. For a few moments, we just stand there, staring at one another silently, until Rage clears her throat.
"I gotta go," Smoke says. "I'll be back in the morning."
Smoke leaves the kitchen and heads into the back bedroom, where I hear him ruffling around with the storage containers. "So," I say, "your name is Rage?"
"Yep. It's short for Regina."
"No, it's not,"
Smoke says, crossing back through the kitchen with a bag in his hand. He pauses at the door and looks at me, then Rage.
"Go,"
she says to him using a soft tone. He nods and heads out. I follow Rage onto the porch, where we watch Smoke fire up his bike and roll out down the path, past a blue scooter parked in the yard. Smoke could have left me cuffed, in a cage, tied to a bed, starved me, tortured me. But for some reason, he's given me room to run. A babysitter. An ankle monitor.
"I know what you're thinking," Rage says.
"No, you don't," I argue.
"I do. You're thinking that maybe Smoke isn't so much of a monster after all."
"Shit.
You're wrong, you know," she sings.
"How so?" Rage brushes past me back into the house.
"The man did strap a bomb to your leg."
I look down to the black box around my ankle.
Shit.
Chapter 25. Frankie. "Do you mind if I ask you a question?" I'm sitting on the front porch in one of the tattered rocking chairs, looking over the landscape of the prison. My curiosity has gotten the best of me, and I've been wondering something ever since Smoke left.
"That was a question," Rage says.
She turns the page of the bridal magazine she's reading and makes a face of disgust. She rolls her eyes and closes the magazine, tossing it on top of a tall pile stacked next to her. She reaches in her bag and pulls out another, opening it and making the same face at the very first page.
"You're very literal," I observe. "And Smoke was right. You're very questiony."
Rage gives up on the magazines, shoving it aside. She sits up in her chair and folds her feet underneath her body.
"So, what's this mystical question you've got for me? Spoiler alert, I don't do horoscopes."
"How do you know, Smoke?"
"It's a tale as old as time," she says with a sigh. "You might even say a song as old as rhyme."
"Are you trying to tell me you're Beauty and the Beast?" I ask with a laugh. Rage wrinkles her nose.
"No. Why?"
No reason." Rage pauses to think. "I guess you can say that Smoke is the Mr. Miyagi to my Karate Kid, but I haven't seen him in a long while."
"What happened?" I ask.
Rage lifts her hand, examining her nails.
"All was not well in the dojo."
"So you guys have never..."
"That is a lot more complicated.
The simple answer would be yes, but hell no." She doesn't elaborate. She reaches behind her back, pulling out the dagger she'd thrown at me earlier, the one with the shiny crystal handle. She fiddles with it, turning it around in her hand, pressing the pad of her index finger against the tip, testing the sharpness.
"You know," she starts, "I see the way he looks at you. A couple of years back, shit, even a year back, I would never have seen it or recognized what it was. Even if I did, it would only be an observation, something to mimic while I'm on a job and have to pretend to feel the same way everyone else does. Rage spins the handle of the blade on the table between us. But I saw it today. He looks at you like he wants to...
I don't know what you think you saw.
Rage cuts me off. You're a smart girl, Frankie, I can tell. But you might be more clueless to what people are feeling than I ever was, because Smoke looks at you like he wants to stick a flag in you and claim you for the homeland. I raise my eyebrows in question. Rage rolls hers. I've been watching these emotional movies lately. It's this therapy thing my parents want me to try. The stake of claim thing is from Far and Away with Tom Cruise. He goes out west and... She stops. Never mind, I've probably got it all wrong anyway. I like that movie, I tell her. After a few moments of silence, Rage turns to me. Be honest. What's your story? How did you end up Smoke's captive? He didn't tell you? He told me his side. I want to hear your side. Why? I ask. Because I care about Smoke. And I need to know if I should bury you in the prison yard before he gets back. She says, there's no doubt in my mind it's the truth, but she says it so casually, like she's planning what to eat for dinner or talking about the weather. I know Rage's loyalty lies with Smoke. I don't know if I can trust her. Actually, I know I can't trust her. I tell her everything anyway. Well, almost everything. I tell her about my father and how he was negligent after my mother died, about taking a false name and re-enrolling in high school to avoid the fallout from my father's bullshit. The abduction. Smoke. 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 I toss one truth after another at her like clothes on a laundry heap, until there's a huge pile between us to be sorted. Well, that was educational, Rage says, twisting the end of her ponytail in her hand. She pulls up her legs and sits cross-legged on the rocking chair. But I guessed it. Guessed what? I ask. He named the bacon, she whispers. I'm not sure if she's talking to herself or to me. Huh? Think of Smoke like a pig farmer, Rage starts to explain. I have no idea where she's going with this. Let me guess, am I the pig in this scenario? I ask, pointing at my chest. She nods. Yes, for this metaphor anyway. Smoke, or anyone who does what we do, are pig farmers. And pig farmers don't name their pigs. They don't treat them like pets because they're not. They might be walking around and breathing, but they are food. You don't cuddle and play with food. You don't tie pretty bows around food's neck. She holds out her hands, palms up, and shrugs. You don't name the bacon. And you think Smoke did? Rage nods. Oh, Smoke's a pig namer, all right. Never thought I would say that about him. But if he isn't careful, then soon he'll be a pig. Rage pauses and presses her lips together. A burst of laughter escapes and she covers her mouth with her hands. A pig fucker? I barely get the word out. Rage and I look at each other and we're lost to laughter until our stomachs ache and our eyes tear. I've got a death sentence looming over my head. I've been abducted by a killer. And I'm sitting across from another who just compared me to a pig being led to slaughter. And I'm laughing. I will say this, though, Rage says, wiping the tears from her cheeks. Her back straightens as she looks me in the eye. Her expression grows serious. Her smile falls. There's a lot more to us monsters than we let on. I look out over the prison. I think I'm beginning to understand that. I'm rooting for you, Frankie, Rage says, taking me by surprise. You are? Yeah, I am. I heard the escape didn't go well. What's your next plan of action? She asks, clapping her hands together. What makes you think I have one? Rage looks at me and flashes me a knowing smile. Nothing makes me think you don't. Whatever it is, you better get moving on it. Why is that? Rage sighs. Because you have less time than you think. Chapter 26. Frankie. You have less time than you think. I'm on my knees, fishing under the mattress for the garments I've hidden underneath, while Rage's words play over and over again in my mind. She wouldn't tell me why she thought I had less time, but whatever the reason, she was right. It was time to jump to Dr. Ida's last tip for surviving captivity. Seduction. Smoke wants me. I saw it in his eyes. I felt it against my back. Rage left shortly after Smoke came back, but he hasn't spoken a word to me since. He's colder than before. If Rage was right, and Smoke named the bacon, then I think he's realized it and is trying to put distance between us. I'm nervous, shaking all over as I take a shower and scrub my skin with a washcloth until it's smooth. I towel dry and brush my hair, then shave and groom using the electric razor I find under the sink. I dress quickly and look in the mirror, making adjustments where necessary. My pulse is pounding in my ears as I give myself a once-over. It's the best I can do with what I've got. But will it be enough? I'll soon find out. I take a deep breath and push open the bedroom door. I find Smoke sitting on the couch with his arms stretched over the top, a cigar in his mouth, a bottle of whiskey at his feet. There's a radio in the corner playing Take It Out on Me by Florida Georgia Line. I like this song, I say. Smoke turns his head towards me and freezes, cigar halfway to his lips. His eyes widen as he takes me in, looking me up and down, then back again. What the fuck are you doing? Smoke asks between gritted teeth. He's angry. His vein pulses under his tattoo. His nostrils flare. I let his anger fuel my determination, and I walk with as much confidence as I can muster into the center of the room, wearing only a sheer black bra that pushes my breasts up and amplifies my cleavage, and a matching sheer panties that lets him see it all through the fabric. What? I look down at my body, now almost bruise-free. You don't like the way I look? I ask with mock innocence. I'm teasing him, or at least I'm trying to. The fire blazing in his eyes tells me that I'm either doing it very right or very wrong. It doesn't matter. I can't give up now. I sway my hips from side to side, hooking my thumbs in the sides of my panties. What are you trying to prove, hellion? He rasps. I'm not trying to prove anything, I say. Leaning over, I pluck the cigar from his hand and take a puff before placing it on the ashtray in the end of the table. Smoke clears his throat and shakes his head. You don't know what the fuck you're doing, he grates. His eyes linger on the scrap of fabric between my legs, then travel up to my breasts where my nipples pebble under his gaze. I think I do, I say in the seductive tone I'd practiced in the bathroom earlier. Such big words for such a little girl, Smoke drawls. I'm not a little girl, I shout, taking a step forward before reminding myself of what I was trying to do and freezing. Smoke smiles, knowing he's gotten to me. What exactly are you playing at here, little girl? 'Cause no matter what happens, he grabs the whiskey off the floor and tips it to his mouth. He swallows and sets it back down, licking his lips. You're gonna lose. That's what you think. I don't answer, because I'm focused on his full lips. The way his tongue darts out to catch a falling drop of whiskey. Shit, get it together, Frankie.
I smile up at him and unhook my bra, slowly dropping it to the floor. He's watching my